Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Thursday, everybody.
I didn't check the text line. Sometimes we have people send us stuff before we even start the show. They're waiting for us.
Oh, yeah.
Usually snarky stuff. You know, usually coming after you, which I love.
Yeah, I know you love that. I know that you do. That makes you excited.
It does. I chuckle with glee.
Yes. But as you know, most of them are just upset. You know, they got their panties in a wad about not, you know, not being right. And I'm on top of, I told you so island. You know, I'm taking my morning hike up Mount Pompous.
We do have to give one of our listeners credit because they came up with Mount Pompous, which was tremendous.
It is tremendous. It's a great addition to the island.
It is a great dish. It just popped up.
It's volcanic island.
Right. I mean, it can happen.
It can happen.
Very quickly.
Yeah, very naturally.
Let's go stink. Let's go wedge driver. Come on, bang your head. Let's wake up the dead. Let's go Broncos country. All right. I guess they want us to get fired up.
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. Here we go.
Let's do this. Let's do this. All right. And by the way, next week, I just want to let everybody know, our great 6 a.m. listeners, we will be looking for the phrase that pays for the Giants game that you'll be broadcasting.
That's right.
Where we come up with a phrase that is just for our listeners that Mark works into the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's his own little, his private homage to us,
right,
to you, the listeners. Nobody else gets it, except for the great listeners of this show. And then you're just like,
it's Broncos country.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, way to go, Mark. Thank you.
Well, we already had one that came up last week that we liked. Or the week before last, I guess, before you were off.
The clear leather?
Clear leather.
Yeah.
Couldn't even clear leather.
He didn't even clear leather.
Didn't even clear leather.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that one.
You didn't have time to clear leather.
He didn't even have time to clear leather.
Easy.
That's the leader in the clubhouse,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, I like that one.
For sure. Teddy Bridgewater. Notice I said Teddy. Teddy Bridgewater. Talking about leadership yesterday.
Nah, I've never been a screamer. But I pay attention to guys sometimes. You know, you have those guys who sometimes don't do well when, you know, you scream at them. So you pull a guy to the side. Hey, man, I need you here, man. You hit that seventh step. Make sure you get out of the break. I'm throwing it. If you're not there, then I'm getting to the next guy. It's something as simple as that. It goes a long way with the guys because now, you know, they hold themselves accountable of getting in the right place at the right time. Or even if it's up front with the offensive line, hey, man, I need you guys to, you know, make the ends, rush the field. I'll step up in the pocket and find a lane to escape. So a little dialogue like that, you know, it holds a lot of value as well.
What are you looking for from your quarterback when it comes to leadership?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately the whole leadership thing, you've got to be authentic, I think, is the first thing. You got to be who you are. And I think, Teddy, there's no question about that. You've got to have the respect of the guys that you play around. And, you know, one thing about Teddy, throughout the places that he's been a very respected player. In the locker room, for what he's been able to overcome, all the things that he has done, he's incredibly respected that way. But, you know, we saw it all training camp long. When a mistake was made during training camp, you'd see Drew go back and talk to the coaches about that mistake, what happened. You see Teddy go out to players, run over to a receiver and say, hey, man, I need you. Listen, you went on the release. You went on the release, man. I'm getting you the ball. Don't cover yourself. Don't go back into coverage. So you saw that on a consistent basis. So I think that That's the biggest thing, is there's a calming effect when a guy that you trust, that you believe in, that you know can get the job done, is in the huddle with you. And then especially when that guy converts on some tough third downs, keeps the chains moving, whether it's with his feet or whether he scrambles around and makes a play, whatever the case may be. And you love it when a dude doesn't run himself into trouble. As an offensive lineman, you know, all five guys doing their job and doing it well, and the dude runs himself into trouble. And that's one of the big things. Pocket awareness, pocket presence, being able to manipulate and slide in the pocket and still throw the ball down the field. That's big for an offensive lineman. That's big for an offense. And, you know, when you see a guy that perceives pressure and takes off, that's frustrating. That's when extra holding calls get made, because all of a sudden the angle, you're blocking a dude, you've got him completely locked up, and all of a sudden the angle changes and he changes directions. And, I mean, of course you're holding him, because that's what you do when you're completely locked up. And then all of a sudden a jersey stretches and you get called for a holding, and it's because the quarterback ran out of the pocket. And he shouldn't have. So all that stuff, there's no one right answer for leadership.
Some text rolling in.
Mm.
I could just see Evans on his cross-country trip repeating Teddy, Teddy, Teddy over and over again. Teddy Bridgewater and...
Yeah. You made good use of your time.
I did make good use of my time.
It was not just wasted time in the car.
No.
Going from one gas station to the next trying to hold your pee. It was...
Who said I waited for gas stations?
Oh!
I learned from the master.
That's right. Depends. I gave you a couple depends.
Oh, I didn't need those.
Okay.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to work on your diction.
Correct.
Yeah.
Phrase it pays. I told you so, Island.
Yeah.
Kirby says the phrase that pays should be, that's like man 101, but have it actually be manly, unlike Mark's electric mower.
That's a low blow. It's not cool.
That's personal. Oh, that's good. That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
I like Joel Klatt. Did you get that one, Benny? He comes along next. We'll replay the best of our visit with Joel yesterday and why he believes going with Teddy Bridgewater was the right move. We'll hear from the insufferable Joel Klatt next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, our buddy Joel Klatt is back with us for a full football season, and we get a chance to visit with him during the 8 o'clock hour. So great 6 a.m. listeners that you are. We don't want you left out here in the best of Joel. And with all the second-guessing, should the Broncos have taken Justin Fields or Mac Jones, I asked Joel about the idea that, well, Mac Jones can only fit in New England's system, and does that really make sense?
It's a great question and a very good point, Mike. But I don't think systems are all that different. There are some guys that can be more creative with the way they use personnel, the way that they attack matchups. I think that's where the brilliance of an offensive mind comes in, because everyone's running similar concepts, right? There's no secrets out there. Everyone can see it on film. No one turns on the film and is like, oh my gosh, this is groundbreaking new stuff that we're seeing. We don't see new stuff. I think when it comes to great offensive minds, you think of things like timing of play calling, the ability to manipulate your own system in order to gain the most advantageous matchup that you possibly can. And the guys that do that more consistently than others are considered the better offensive coaches. Now, having said that, here's what is different, is the standard by which you hold your players accountable. Okay. And I believe, while never having actually played for those guys, when I talk with guys that have played in New England, the standard that is held within the coaching staff in terms of the detail that you have to play with is higher than other places. See, there's an old adage that as a coach at any level, if you're a coach at any level, I'm not talking about peewee, so, you know, just relax if you're sitting in your car right now and you're a peewee coach and you're like, oh, my gosh, he's talking to me. I'm not talking to you. If you're a coach at like high school and college and the other levels, it absolutely was. Just relax. Take it easy. Take a sip of coffee and just let the kids have fun. Now, if you're at a little bit of a higher level, here's the thing. As a coach, what you see on the film, you are either coaching or allowing, period. Okay? That's kind of like the buck stops with you adage. Let me repeat that. As a coach, what you see on the film, you are either coaching or allowing. And it goes to what I'm talking about the standard of detail that is held within that organization. I believe that the standard by which they hold their players in terms of the detail that they play with is higher than other organizations. So when you go there, Mike, the difference isn't just like, is the system best for me, but if I'm a highly detailed player, I'm going to thrive under that coaching staff versus a coaching staff that's more loose that maybe wants more splash. Okay, so to me, I think that it has to go and it goes towards the direction of expectation in the coaching staff rather than the actual system of the coaching staff.
Why is it? Like, why is it that, and I've said this forever about the Broncos in general, is... And this is one of my big takes on why Teddy should be there. Like, Teddy can teach guys how to actually prepare like a professional. And I've always looked at the Broncos from a cultural standpoint here in the last 5 years. And I've said, you know, as I travel around the National Football League and watch practices and talk to players and talk to coaches, is they think they're working hard. They think they're preparing hard. They think they're doing it the right way. But I'm telling you, go other places and you're like, wow, there's a large gap. Why is there such a large gap? Is it just the head coach? Is it the organization? What, in your opinion, from a cultural standpoint, is missing from some organizations?
Oh boy, that's a great, you guys are coming with some great questions. Can I back up for a second?
Yeah.
Before I talk about like what's missing? Cause when you're asking that question, I immediately thought to myself, if you're a person, and this goes in everything, my industry, your industry, guys, like, well, again, mark what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the business world, anything, okay? Now I am talking to you if you're a Pee Wee coach. So everybody in your cars, wherever you're at, your cubicle, if you're just getting up, you're okay, but you need to hear this probably more than anybody else. if you think you work hard, and are never told that you're a hard worker, then you're not a hard worker. That has to be something that is a label put on you from the outside. Those that tell you they work hard or think they work hard generally don't. And those that are observed from the outside and people say, wow, that person is different. They hold a different standard. Now, I think that the difference is, I think the difference is when I'm around football players, there are guys that love the game so much that they're like a sponge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have this drive to be better. And it's never about a minimum. It's never about showing others how hard they work or how long they're in the room or what it. They just have a drive. Here's a quick story. Okay, so my neighbor is a guy who played in the NFL for 7 years. He was a tight end, primarily for the Browns. His name was Evan Moore, played at Stanford. Evan's an amazing guy. They've become one of our best friends. Well, Evan also played for the Packers for 1 year early in his career. And it was one of the years that Charles Woodson first signed with Green Bay. And he said, you know, Charles was on one of those deals where it's like, you know, he's towards, you know, he had played a while, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, if he was banged up a little bit, you know, they wouldn't make him practice. And Evan at first thought, like, man, this is kind of weird. You know, I thought Charles would be, like, one of the harder workers or this and that. And then he was like, and then I realized that it wasn't necessarily about what Charles was doing running around in some individual drill that wasn't going to matter on Sunday. Every time he saw Charles Woodson in the building, whether they were watching film, whether they were eating, whatever he was doing, walking into a team meeting, he had his iPad and he was watching film the entire time. Okay. And I guess I tell that story because I think Charles had an overriding spirit to be as prepared as he possibly could. Okay. And I think that there are guys out there that are like that. If I knew exactly why some were like that and why others weren't or what the key magic was, you know, I wouldn't be on with you guys because I would be doing something else that was more impactful in the world. That's why it was such a good question. I don't know, Mark. I think it's innate. I think some people just are more professional than others. Yeah, I think maybe it boils down to, I'm just thinking out loud here, rambling on. Maybe it boils down to, you know, there are those that love football and those love being football players. And I think there's a vast difference between the two.
Visit with Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flat Irons. Which of the two, Justin Fields or Mac Jones, do you think has the potential to make George Payton look bad?
Oh, man. Well, judging by their organizations and their offense and their current situation, I would say Mac Jones. I think Justin is more talented than Mac Jones, but I think that the Patriots are in a much better place than the Bears. I think both of them could have some success, but I think that, you know, I think it's going to be really tough for Justin Fields with Nagy, because I think Nagy is going to force him onto the field earlier than he should be forced onto the field as a way to try to save his own butt. Whereas Belichick's, you know, I mean, he's going to try to put Mac in the best possible situation to succeed, period, because he's totally solidified in New Orleans. And I think, New England. And I think that they have a little bit of a better roster than Chicago, potentially. So I would say Mac Jones, but both of them have the ability to have everybody in Denver, you know, wish that they were in a Bronco uniform.
All right, the best of Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons, and we bring him to you each and every week. Bring the Morning Brew to you coming up next. George Payton on Last Night with Nick and Cecil, and how he referred to the Broncos, kind of revealing. That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep hiking, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on!
Nah, I've never been a screamer, but I pay attention to guys sometimes. You know, you have those guys who sometimes don't do well when, you know, you scream at them. So you pull a guy to the side. Hey, man, I need you here, man. You hit that seventh step. Make sure you get out of the break. I'm throwing it. If you're not there, then I'm getting to the next guy. It's something as simple as that. It goes a long way with the guys because now, you know, they hold themselves accountable of getting in the right place at the right time. Or even if it's up front with the offensive line, hey, man, I need you guys to, you know, make the ends rush up field. I'll step up in the pocket and find a lane to escape. So a little dialogue like that, you know, it holds a lot of value as well.
Hey, look, it wasn't as good as I've learned what it takes to be a franchise quarterback.
Keenum, here's the interception.
It's too bad that the quarterbacks that have been run through here over the last 5 years couldn't solely be determined by their ability to conduct a press conference. Because, you know, you listen to Teddy Bridgewater and, I mean, he's not Brock.
Ball security is job security.
But he says all the right things, and I can see why it's obvious that the players, let's be honest, obvious the players preferred him.
I would say just that soundbite alone, Mike, it's not just podium speak. He's actually giving you things. He's giving you the reason that they chose him over Drew Lock. It's little things. Like I'm telling guys, come out of that break at 7. You know, break your head around. If you're not there, I'm going to the next guy. How many times have we seen sack, strip fumble, We saw it in the Rams game. You're hanging on somebody too long. You're hanging on the front side too long. You're waiting for something to happen. Hey, if your receiver doesn't get where he's supposed to go, you get to the next guy, and then you go talk to that guy. I mean, that here is the development of not the quarterback. Here's the development of your young players with a veteran player that's saying, if you're not where you're supposed to be, I have a responsibility to get off you and get to the next guy. So do your job the right way. Like that right there, that soundbite alone tells you why Teddy Bridgewater won that starting competition.
You know, when you talked about hanging
around.
I mean, we got Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy KGB.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some similarities. This is going to be special.
Yeah, he's not going to hang around and hang around for you to get open.
So you don't have your head turned around at 7 yards. He's not hanging around.
No, he's not hanging around.
All right, we need to stop that.
Yeah.
Next on The Morning Bro.
You know, the whole thing is we're damn good football players, and we deserve everything that we've achieved. And so there's nothing expendable about us. You know, we go and we affect, you know, every football game we're in. You know, that's not expendable. You know, and that's why I don't like the name.
There is Shelby Harris.
Ooh, I like that.
Says he does not like the defensive linemen being referred to as the expendables. You know, guys that have bounced around a little bit, have that kind of journeyman type tag on them. He doesn't like that.
No?
He says we're dogs. Got some dogs along that D-line. Don't call us the expendables. You like the Broncos defensive line. Interior.
I do. I
Mike Purcell, Draymond Jones, Shelby. Sean Williams.
I do like them. I like what I've seen. I like the way they have defended the run. I just think there's one guy on there that I've said this before that I think could be special. You know, when it comes to affecting the pass rush and that stuff. And that's Draymond Jones. Shelby will knock down passes. Right. He's got a knack for knocking down passes.
Yes.
But when it comes to pressuring a quarterback, I think there's one guy up front that. But that's not necessarily their role. The edge guys, that's the role of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb and Jonathan Cooper and Reed.
But with all the great pass rushers that the Broncos have had, you still had guys inside, you know, like Malik Jackson, who really shined.
Yeah.
Maybe Draymond Jones is
I think he's the next
breakout
inside interior kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, they can provide 7-8 sacks on a season, 8.5 sacks.
Have
on a
Malik
season. Yeah.
Type year.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, what I'm hoping for from Draymond Jones. Next on The Morning Brew.
We need to set the winning standard, you know, and obviously they haven't won here in 5 years. I think it was really important to have a successful preseason. You know, I know it's preseason, but winning is contagious, and we played very well, offense, defense, need to improve on special teams, but I think it's contagious. We need to get off to a good start this season. We've struggled out of the gate the last couple of years, and so I think winning breeds that, Nico, and, you know, I think we're on the right track.
This is really my fault.
So you had George Payton on with Nick and Cecil last night. Did you notice how he started out by referring to they?
Yeah. They haven't won here.
Yeah.
They haven't won here.
Don't put that stank on me.
Yeah, I wasn't part of that. That mess.
Then he transitioned to we.
Yeah, he went from they to we.
Yeah.
I don't want that on me.
We.
Yeah. Now we're we. Now that we're reorganizing the roster, we're a we. It was them before.
But they.
They.
They were the problem the last 5 years.
Right.
That's obvious.
Yep.
Dump that on me.
Mm-mm.
He made a couple of moves yesterday. Broncos cut Royce Freeman.
He's no longer a Bronco.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that one? That's a new one.
Yeah, that is new. I think, hey, listen, if you're the fourth string or third string running back, you got to play special teams.
Yep.
There's another third rounder that this was supposed to be the guy.
Yep. In fairness, though.
How'd that work out?
I know, John, it didn't work out. But in fairness, there are some picks that when they're made, they seem, you can't have a problem with the idea of the pick. And that was one of them.
He was a really good running back at Oregon and looked, nobody had a problem with the pick. Nobody,
you ever go back,
nobody had a problem and said, oh, what are they doing? No, that was a pretty much universally accepted pick.
I think it does go though, when you start to look at the collegiate system that you play in, you look at all the different aspects of kind of where you come from, what you played in, like the quarterback position. Are you really prepared to play running back in the NFL, to do it all in the NFL? I don't know. I guess I agree with you, but certainly, again, another one that just didn't seem to pan out the way you had hoped it would pan out.
Next on the Morning Brew.
This ball hammered left center field. This could tie it. Diaz scores easily. Hanson's getting a green light. He'll score standing up, and the Rockies take a 6-5 lead. Brendan Rodgers coming through.
AT&T Sportsnet with the call there. Rockies rally to beat the Rangers to avoid a sweep. And remember back when the Avalanche had started out what we thought would be a Stanley Cup run and the Rockies could not win a road game? And mm-hmm. We posed the question, who would win more, Avalanche playoff games or Rockies road games this season?
Oh, yeah, we did do that, right?
We did do that.
Because you got to, what do you got to win? 16?
16. Mission 16W.
Yeah.
Well, the Avalanche fell short of that. Well short.
Uh-huh.
And the Rockies yesterday won their 18th road game.
Crushing it.
So if you had taken the over back then, congratulations, you win. The Rockies have won more road games than the Avalanche won playoff games.
The Rockies on the road. Rockies beating up on, they lost 2 or 3. Texas may be the worst team in baseball.
Yes.
The Rangers may be the worst
or team. Or Arizona.
Yes.
Technically, Arizona is the worst.
Texas is right there neck and neck with them, right?
Yes. Yes. But the Rockies come home to take on Atlanta.
All right.
Hey, whatever you want to say about the Rockies, boy, they have been an entertaining watch at home. And they are back home to take on the first place in the NL East Braves starting tonight. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, we'll get into James Merrillat. He just won't let this hatred that he has for Teddy Bridgewater go. We'll see if we can kind of win him over. Let's see if we can bring him around to
smooth it over.
Team Teddy. That's next. James Merrillat is the high priest of DenverFan.com. And he joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Morning, James.
Morning, guys. We're running out of titles, apparently.
We're good.
No. We've got plenty of titles. Have you warmed up? Obviously, I've watched your Twitter feed. You haven't. But have you warmed up? What will it take to get you to warm up to Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, I think, Mark, it's like anything, right? Winning football games will get me to start warming up. And then seeing this offense be effective, being able to move the ball, being able to overcome some negative plays along the way. My fear is that they're going to be set up to where, if everything's on script and you can put together 10, 12 straight plays without any sacks or penalties or, drop balls or anything like that, then, you can move the football. But what do you do when you face that inevitable 3rd and 10? Is it Sam Martin time, or can you figure out a way to move the chain? So, winning's the simple answer, I guess, that I would have. But from there, it's, hey, can this offense be effective? And can they get themselves out of bad, down and distant situations? I'm not gonna, be stubborn and if I see Teddy Bridgewater do those things, say, it's not happening, it's a mirage, it's not gonna continue. I'll start to come around, but it's gotta happen beyond the first 3 weeks of the year, too. I think we gotta avoid the early victory lap if we're on the Teddy Bridgewater, bandwagon here, because we've seen other quarterbacks come in here and be effective for a short period. We're going to need to see it, for more than 3 or 4 games, but I could be convinced. I'm not one that's that stubborn. I could be swayed that Teddy Bridgewater can get it done. I'm not counting on it. But I'll have an open mind. We'll put it that way.
Well, let's look at it this way. I think so often we think about the quarterback has to make everything better, right? What about just the idea that, hey, let's look around. Offensive line is as improved and as good as it's been probably since the Super Bowl year. You've got Melvin Gordon, who seems like a running back on a mission. You got Javonte Williams, who is the next pick your running back, Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara. You got all these number one and number two draft picks at wide receiver and tight end. What about just the idea that, look, let the talent that is obviously around Bridgewater just let it flow?
I think that's a very good point. And I think it sort of ties into, you know, my same theory of if Vic Fangio can't succeed with the most expensive defense in football, this fairly easy schedule and the quarterback he picks, then he's never going to succeed. And by the same token, if Teddy Bridgewater can't succeed with all those things you just outlined, and that's not being a homer, and that's not us being too attached to the talent that's here locally. Like, that's just the reality of what the Broncos have. They do have a good roster, and they have a good young roster on the offensive side of the ball. If he can't succeed with this group, it's just not going to happen. I think that's part of what frustrates Broncos country, at least those of us who weren't in favor of Teddy Bridgewater getting the job, is there's so much there. There's so much to work with. And is it going to be utilized with a guy that, you know, look, I don't call him Teddy 2 yards because he likes to air it out and throw the ball downfield. It's check down after check down after check down. I don't know that that's an effective way to use, you know, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. So, he's got a lot of things around him, and it should work, and they should be able to put it to use. But it's also not just on Teddy. It's also on Pat Shurmur. And Pat Shurmur has proven while he's been here to be a guy that it doesn't matter what
the
talent is.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Right. He's going to be square peg, round hole guy, right? He loves his system, and he's going to go that route. So those are the two things that make me a little bit skeptical of, will Pat Shurmur put those things to use, and can Teddy Bridgewater maximize them? But you're right. There's a lot of talent over there, and it's part of why I think there is some optimism that, hey, this team can contend for a playoff spot. I'm not going to fall into that trap again. I did last year for the reason that I like the roster. A lot of these guys were here a year ago. But the talent is there. It's going to overcome the two big problems, and that's the quarterback, which was an issue last year, and the head coach / coaching staff. I think that remains to be seen.
What about, you mentioned Vic Fangio and this defense. What are your expectations for this defense? What does he have to do? And where do they have to rank for Vic Fangio to have done a good job in your mind with the defense?
You know, and the ranking is always a little bit tricky because that depends on kind of how the games are going, right? Like if you have a lead, sometimes you give up a lot of yards because you don't really care. You're just trying to have the clock move and not give up big plays, and it's between the 20s and it's kind of meaningless. You know what I think is the biggest thing that has to change, Mark, is a year ago through 15 games, they had forced 12 turnovers. Now, wound up 16 and 16 games, which is still terrible because they forced 4 in the finale. But that's just not getting it done, not with the talent they have on that side of the ball, not with the money they've invested in that side of the ball. And look, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be more effective if they can give him the ball at the 40 or the 45 every once in a while instead of always having to march 80, 85 yards. So I want this defense to be opportunistic, to make some plays. That to me is what's been missing since Vic Fangio's been here. If you remember back to his first year, that was that season when they became the first team in NFL history since they started tracking sacks in 1982 to start the first three games without a sack or a turnover. Like, that's not a good list to top. And then last year it was, 12 turnovers in 15 games, and people can make excuses all they want. Well, Vaughn wasn't there, and then they didn't have some cornerbacks late in the year. Well, look, the only game they forced turnovers was the last game of the year, and they were playing, you know, Parnell Motley and guys like that. So that's the thing that has to change. You have to become a defense that makes something happen. That's the strength of this team, forcing 12 turnovers in 15 games. That's so far from getting it done, it's ridiculous. So that's the thing that has to change.
Great question brought up here by one of our great listeners. And as you know around this station, whenever you make bold claims, it is tested by your willingness to risk getting a tattoo if it doesn't work out.
Okay.
So somebody says if Teddy takes us to 9 or more wins, James has to get a Teddy tattoo.
You know what? I would be open to this concept, but it ain't going to be 9 because I think they're going to go 9-8 and be stuck in no man's land.
No, that's
land.
Yeah, that's it's got to be with a little bit more.
Yeah.
10 wins.
How about if it's playoffs?
Now, No. No. I mean, be careful. This is where he gets you.
Yeah,
this
they play a bunch of cupcakes,
this
Mike.
This is where he gets you to say, yeah, pay Trevor Siemian. Yeah, right.
Right.
And then you're stuck with that. You're stuck with that scarlet letter hanging around your neck for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I don't have any ink, and the first thing I'm going to be is Teddy Bridgewater in a non-playoff season. I don't know that that's where I want to go. But, hey, if we want to up it and say, hey, let's see this team get to the postseason, look, they could get to the playoffs with 9. You never know. But I think it's got to be it's playoffs or bust for Vic. I think the decision to go with Teddy only makes sense if you make the playoffs. I think the roster around him, look, we all know the defense is really good. Mike, you just touched on what they have offensively. Like, there's no reason Teddy Bridgewater shouldn't be able to get him to the playoffs. So if we want to talk postseason,
all right,
I will consider this.
All right. All right. I like this. Right. I like this. Thank you, James.
You bet, fellas.
James Marillette, the high priest of DenverFan.com. Check out everything he's got going, including his stable of outstanding writers, which includes Millennial Ben, Sean Drotar, and I'll throw in the occasional column from time to time. Blog. I think when I read Sean's columns, I'm going to read them in his voice. Drotar voice.
Do you have a Drotar voice?
Drotar's voice is just very, very
cerebral.
Very cerebral. Mm-hmm. Very distinct. I can't do it too long because it starts to hurt my windpipe. As we learned the other day, there's two of those, by the way.
Yes, there's the the esophagus and the trachea.
Separated by the
medulla oblongata.
No, that'd be the epiglottis. Okay. Oh, yeah. By the way, I heard from plenty of people who reminded me about my how much does a gallon weigh?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like to get that one back. Like to get that one back. Yeah. All right, our thanks to James Marillette. Coming up next, can we see, after what we heard from Teddy Bridgewater yesterday, why the players preferred Teddy all along? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.